Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening every day for 10 years, we just want to say welcome, we love you, and we pray for you every day. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And if you're like me, you'd really like to be more bold and have more courage to share your faith in Christ. All right, well, right now, let's join Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Daring to Give God My Best.
I said in a previous message that the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a wasted life. And as your pastor, I am committed to helping you be all God wants you to be. I don't want you to settle for second place. I don't want you to settle for also ran. I want you to win the race that God has given to you. I want you to be the best that you can be. And so I want us to look at these three analogies of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer from the Bible. And it starts off, the Bible starts off by saying, look at the military. He says you can learn a lot about faith and about being the best you can be in the military. Do you remember that old army ad, be all you can be in the army? Remember that? And how do I do that? What can we learn from effective soldiers that we would apply to our spiritual life? Well, there's a lot we can learn about being the best from the military. You know, it reminds me of a story. Admiral Hyman Rickover was the father of America's naval, a nuclear navy. The nuclear subs and the nuclear navy, and he was a genius. And I remember reading a story one time that he was recruiting young graduates from Naval Academy, cadets who had just graduated, to have the privilege of serving on a nuclear submarine. And there was one young man who came in and sat down. He wrote this story later, became a very famous story, and he said, the admiral just let me talk for 2 hours. So he said, I talked about anything I wanted to talk about for 2 hours, and I was really trying to show off all my intelligence. And he said, then the admiral began to ask a series of questions, which slowly dawned on me that I knew nothing about what I just talked about. And he said, it was very humbling. And he said, right before I left the two-hour conversation, Admiral Rickover asked me a very poignant question. It was this: when you were in school and in all your previous life up to this date, did you always do your best? And this young man said, well, I started to say, yeah. And then he said, I realized that's not truthful. No. And he said, I thought, no, I didn't. And he said, I was honest. I said, no, I didn't do my best all the time. And he said, Admiral Rickover looked at me with piercing eyes and said, why not? And then just sat there. Why not? Why not the best? And he said, that question began to burn in my heart. It began to be the turning point in my life. The man who was that young cadet later became the 39th president of the United States. His name was Jimmy Carter. And when he wrote his biography, it was called Why Not the Best? And he said, it still haunts me, that question. Am I truly giving my best? Well, there are three things, if I want to give my best to God, that I must do, that every soldier understands. You might write these down. Number one, first I must define what I'd die for. I must define what I'd die for. You say, well, that's a strange place to start on giving your best to God. No, it's not. Because until you know what you're willing to die for, you're not ready to live. You're not ready to live until you know what you'd die for, and you're not ready to love until you know who you'd die for. If you've never clarified what's worth dying for in your life, you really are just not fully alive. Soldiers know there are some things worth dying for. Freedom is worth dying for. Family is worth dying for. Faith is worth dying for. There are some things more valuable even than my own life. And they understand that. And even Jesus talks about this and about how that love is best expressed in the willingness to die for somebody else. Look at this verse, John 15, verse 13. Jesus said, the greatest love, the highest form of love, is shown when a person lays down his life for his friends. Now, soldiers understand this. They realize that sometimes it's a matter of life or death, and they put their life on the line practically every day. Jesus says the greatest measure of love is the willingness to sacrifice your life for somebody else. And of course, that's what Jesus did for us. The greatest expression of love is Jesus dying on the cross. You measure love not by what people tell you, not by what your boyfriend says to you. You measure love by the willingness to sacrifice. And the greater the sacrifice, the deeper the love. The second thing we learn from soldiers, an effective soldier, is to be the best I can be, I must sacrifice my comfort. I must sacrifice my comfort. And of course, soldiers do this all the time. Think of all the comforts that soldiers give up in order to serve others. They give up comfort. They go out and they serve in the heat and they serve in the cold. They give up their free schedule because they're not free to do anything they want to do. The commanding officer says, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. They give up their freedom in order to preserve the freedom of other people. Soldiers give up their wealth. Nobody gets wealthy becoming a soldier. And so they give up a lot of things. They sacrifice their own comfort and the hardships that they choose to put up with. This is true in any area of life. You don't become great without sacrificing. You don't become great by 5 easy steps. You don't become great. You don't become a great woman. You don't become a great man by doing what's easy, by doing what's comfortable. You become great by committing yourself to something greater than yourself and then being willing to sacrifice for that. And the greater your sacrifice in life, the greater your character in life is. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He's using this metaphor, this analogy of the military, and he says, you need, just like a soldier puts up with in hardship for a greater cause, you need to put up with hardship for a greater cause. What is the hardship in your life? What is following Christ making difficult for you? Well, it could be you're criticized some. That could be a hardship. Ostracized, made fun of, maybe that's a hardship. Anytime you do what's right, it's never easy. If doing what's right was easy, everybody would do it. It's much easier to do what's wrong. Always easier to do what's wrong than to do what's right. And that's why it's harder to tell the truth. That's why it's harder to forgive instead of getting even. It's harder to let go instead of getting revenge. It's harder to be kind. It's harder to be unselfish than selfish. These are hardships in following Christ. It's not easy. But the path to greatness and the path to being the best you can possibly be as a man or the best you can possibly be as a woman comes from first defining what you die for and then second, sacrificing your comfort. You see, it's a battle to do what's right. It's not easy. And we are in a spiritual battle, and nothing, as I mentioned earlier, is ever done great without sacrifice. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5:2. Live a life of sacrificial love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice for us. So he's saying, okay, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, and that's the goal, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, you need to learn sacrificial love because Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice, his own life, and he offered himself as an offering for others. Question. You want to be like Jesus? Who are you offering your life for? Right now, who are you sacrificing your life for? Who are you putting up with hardships for besides yourself? A lot of people put up with hardships in order to get ahead, in order to succeed, for personal goals. Are you involving yourself in any things that are hard to do for the benefit of other people? And sometimes you lose sleep because you're helping other people. And sometimes you spend some of your money because you're helping other people. And sometimes you lose your privacy because you're helping somebody else. These are hardships. I must sacrifice my comfort. If you want to be like Jesus, we have to live a life of sacrificial love. You know, I can't think of sacrifice And nothing's greater ever done without sacrifice. Without thinking of one of my favorite stories that really touched me as a young man, the story of Jim Elliot and five missionaries. Jim Elliot and four of his best friends heard about a tribe in the deep jungles of the Amazon in Ecuador who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Very primitive tribe. No Bible, no believer, no church. And so these five guys said, we're going to give ourselves to go missionaries to reach this tribe that nobody's ever shared the good news with. And they knew they just couldn't walk in because it's a pretty violent tribe. And so they start dropping gifts overhead from planes as they'd fly over the jungle, and they were trying to soften them up. And finally, after about 6 months of preparation, they decided to make first contact with this tribe. And they found a little sand barge on the river, on the Amazon River, where they could actually land a plane. And they flew in, and in the first landing, they landed to get out to meet the Indians for the very first time. When those five missionaries were martyred in their very first attempt to share the good news with those Indians, the world was rocked. It was on the cover of every magazine. And many people said, what a waste. What a waste. Those people went to tell them the good news, and they didn't even get to share it. And they gave their lives. But that wasn't the end of the story. In the closing words, when Jim Elliot looks up at Minkayani, the tribal chief who was killing him at that moment, and offers words of forgiveness, something sticks in his heart. And he begins to soften. And the rest of the story is that some of the wives of those missionaries said, we're going to go in now. And Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife, took her young daughter, and Rachel Saint, a sister of one of the other missionaries. Those brave, courageous, daring faith women moved to that tribe and moved in with them. And they began to share the good news. And the people were so shocked that the wives would come after they'd killed the husbands. And they began to share the good news, and the tribe converted to Christ. Minkayani, that man who was the leader and who killed Jim Elliot, he later had Nate Saint, who was the son of one of the men killed, came and lived in him, and Nate Saint adopted him as his father, the man who killed his own dad. Minkayani became a devout Christian and then became a preacher and began to travel the world telling people about the good news of forgiveness. And in 2006, that Indian, Minkayani, stood on the stage of Saddleback Church and preached to this crowd, gave me these beads to represent, their peace beads, to represent the effect of the peace plan around the world. And they found the old plane that had laid buried in that sandbar. They took it apart, they brought it, and we put it here on the stage on the anniversary of that, the death of those men. In fact, I think we've got a picture of there. Yeah, there's Minkayani. There's Pastor Tom at a much younger age. And there's Minkayani just beaming with the love of Jesus Christ, no longer a hater, no longer filled with rage and jealousy, but a lover and a preacher of the good news of the gospel. How did that man come to Christ? Because somebody was willing to sacrifice. There are some things worth dying for. Now, I doubt that you will be asked to give your life for Jesus Christ, but would you be willing? Or are you just a casual Christian, not a committed Christian? And are you willing to sacrifice your own comfort for the greater good of other people? That's what it means to be like Jesus. There's one other thing. Third thing we learn from a soldier is that I must eliminate distractions if I want to be the best that I can possibly be. If I want to be the best man I can be, if I want to be the best woman I can be, I've got to eliminate distractions. And the next verse in this passage says this: as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become entangled in the affairs of this life, wasting time, for then you can't please your commanding officer who enlisted you into his army. If there's one thing a soldier must have, is he must have the freedom to respond with flexibility when his commanding officer says, go. No soldier can say, sorry, I'm busy right now. I'm watching Say Yes to the Dress. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm busy. I can't go serve right now. I'm going out for a game of golf right now. I'm sorry, I can't help because I'm gonna play my hobby and I'm gonna go read this, I'm gonna go watch a game. And no. Soldiers say they can't get involved in the affairs of this life and civilian life because they have to be ready in a moment's notice to do what their commanding officer tells them to do. You have to eliminate distractions. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about doing without things that really don't matter. How much of your time is invested in things that aren't going to matter 5 years from today, much less in eternity? How much of your energy is invested in things that aren't going to matter 5 years from today, much less for eternity? How much of your money are you investing in things that aren't going to matter 5 years from today, much less for eternity? If you want to be great, if you want to be the best, you must start spending more of your time, more of your money, and more of your energy on things that are going to last forever and less of it on things that don't really matter. I mean, do you really need to know how many times a Hollywood celebrity's been married? Is that the most important thing you need to fill your mind with? No. Then why are you reading all of those magazines about those stories of people you don't even care about? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of brain space. What could you give up? I want to challenge you to think about this week. What could you give up? An hour of TV a week? What could you give up in order to make more time for the things that matter in life? To love, to serve, to know God, to worship. These are the things we learn from effective soldiers. Define what I can die for, sacrifice my comfort, and eliminate distractions. Next, Paul moves to the second example, second metaphor. And he says, you know what? You can learn some things from sports, too. If you really want to learn, you can learn some things for your spiritual life from sports. And he says, let's look at the serious athlete, the competitive athlete, not the casual one, but the serious one. And the second most used analogy for the Christian life in the Bible is an athlete. And the Bible compares your life to a race. You are running a race in life. And it's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And my job as your pastor is to help you get across the finish line. Because you're in a race. And I don't want you to get sidelined. I don't want you to get run off in the ditch. I want you to make it to the finish line and win the prize. And here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. In a race, everyone runs. In other words, everybody in life is living their life. But only one person wins the prize. So, run your race to win. Run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. There's that phrase again. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a ribbon or a medal that won't last. But we do it for an eternal reward that will last forever. So, I run straight toward the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I discipline my body. I discipline myself, making sacrifices and training my body to do what it should, not what it wants to do. Otherwise, I fear that I might be disqualified from the race. Now, just like the soldier has three things to teach us, the athlete has three things to teach us about being the best we can be. You might write these down. The first thing we learn from the athlete is this: I must intend to win. If I'm going to win in life, it's got to be intentional. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen without effort. It's not going to happen unless I have a goal. You will not become great by accident. You will not become the best woman you could possibly be or the best man you could possibly be just casually. It'll only happen if you intend to become the best you can be, if you intend to have a great soul, intend to have a goal. This is the difference between being a casual Christian and a competitive or a committed Christian. Is there a difference between a competitive golfer and a casual golfer? Oh, yeah. The committed golfer takes it serious. They're playing to win. And they get stressed out about it if they don't win. If you're a casual golfer, you're just hitting the ball around, you're having fun, smelling the roses, you know, looking at the gophers, you know, you're just looking for some time off. The difference is the degree of seriousness. Question, how serious are you about being what God made you to be? Well, I kind of like to do it in my spare time. It isn't going to happen. How serious are you about being the best you could possibly be? The Bible said there in verse 24, in a race, everyone runs, but only one person wins the prize. So run your race to win. Circle that. Run your race to win. You should be living your life in a way that you're running to win. God wants you to win. God doesn't want you to be a loser. God wants you to be a winner. He wants you to run the race to win, and you've got to do this intentionally. Now, the truth is, there's some people that are listening to me right now that you're never going to be a great person. You're never going to be the person God intended. You're never going to be the best man or the best woman you can be. Why? Because you never intended to be. You're not willing to pay the price. You're just not willing to pay the price. You don't want it badly enough. You don't want it deeply enough. How deeply do you want to win the prize that God has for you in life? You say, well, what's the prize? Look at the next verse. Greater reward and responsibility in eternity. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:12, run your best. Run your best in the race of faith. And that's what we're talking about, daring faith. And win eternal life. That's what you win, eternal life for yourself. For this is the life that God called you to when you professed your faith before many witnesses. What does it mean when you professed your faith before many witnesses? I was talking about your baptism. When you're baptized, you are professing your faith in front of many witnesses. If you haven't been baptized, that's what you need to do next. You need to profess your faith in front of many witnesses. Baptism is the way you do that. Then he says there, he says, you need to run your best race. You need to do it intentionally. Say, God, I really goofed off in a lot of my earlier life, but I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. I want to make it count. I want to make up for lost time. And I'm serious about this. I'm not going to be a casual Christian. I'm serious about this. I want your best for my life.
What a great message today from Pastor Rick. There's something I always can use in my own life after listening to this show. All right, would you like to step out of a life of ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith? Then please order the Daring Faith DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today.
You know, today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we will send you a copy of the Daring Faith study kit. and it has 6 video sessions and a workbook, and that's our way of saying thanks for your gift. So go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.